Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm D.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Plugged in, turned on, social distance, time.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
We're actually going to talk about an antique that I don't personally care for much, for I think reasons that will become immediately obvious. But I had enough questions about it that I just figured I would do a little bit of digging. We're going to talk about humidors.
What's a humidor?
A humidor is a box or container that is used to store cigars, cigarettes, pipe tobacco, or cannabis.
Oh, cigar boxes.
Yeah, a cigar box that is specifically to maintain a stable humidity, because it turns out tobacco is really picky about what humidity it wants to be at.
Oh.
It very frequently is a box. It can be anything from a box to a table to a display case to an entire room.
That seems excessive.
Not if you're a cigar store.
Oh, good point.
Generally, you only see it like an entire room in a cigar store. And even then, it tends to be a high-end cigar store. So yeah, they are meant to control humidity to keep a good moisture level for tobacco. Because anything below 50 and above 75 is very bad for tobacco.
Okay.
Below 50, it is really dry and it tastes crappy and it kind of defeats the purpose of smoking the tobacco. And above 75, it tends to get rotting, molding, falls apart, and it gets... Alright, this is the grossest part. If you needed any more... You shouldn't be smoking cigars. They're somehow worse for you than other tobacco products. I found out in looking this up that a lot of tobacco has tobacco beetle eggs in it.
Oh.
And it's a known problem with cigars that if a cigar goes over 75% humidity and over 77 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe, I think that's 25 centigrade, but I'm rusty, that's when the eggs like to hatch. And they can actually hatch at lower temperatures at higher humidities.
Oh no.
You pick up a cigar and you actually have to consider there's a heavy chance that, much like in the film Alien, if it hits the right... series of humidities and temperatures, it's going to hatch a horrible infestation that will destroy all of your cigars, and just the knowledge that you would be smoking a bunch of bugs.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was... It seems to be a huge problem. Apparently, at the wrong humidity, tobacco beetles can do a lot of damage to cigars.
Okay. I'm gonna be real with you, my dude. Their damage to cigars is not my worst fear at this point.
Oh, no. But for me, it was just like, there's so many reasons not to smoke a cigar, and that has become chief among them. Like, full disclosure, I have smoked a cigar. It was after the Patriots won the Super Bowl for the first time in the last, like, in my lifetime, whatever. And... I didn't want to, but someone handed it to me. It was a shitty, terrible experience, and I'll never understand why people enjoy it.
Oh, man.
It was a friend's house for the Super Bowl. Their dad hands you a cigar, and you're just like, oh, all right. It's fine. And then you take one puff, and you're like, oh, it's like inhaling death. So the humidors are often paired with a hygrometer, which is a little dial that measures ambient humidity. And apparently the old ones are frequently incredibly incorrect because their method of measuring the humidity is the tension of a single spring in the device.
Oh.
The spring's tension changes whether it's drier or more moist. So apparently there's a lot, a huge margin for error in reading that kind of hygrometer.
I was gonna say, there are at least four ways for that to go wrong.
Yeah, so welcome to Beetle Town. I mean, nowadays, hygrometers do tend to be digital and much more accurate, but we're not talking about nowadays because they bore me and I hate them, so we're talking about then-a-days. So like I covered, humidors come in a lot of varieties. They come in walk-in room style, which hopefully is being relegated to cigar store, and if you know someone who has one, I suggest you get away from them because they're going to eat your skin or transplant your brain or something other that rich people do because they aren't human anymore. They come in cabinet varieties, which I have seen personally. Desktop, which is the most popular. Travel and weed, because weed needs a different ambient humidity than tobacco.
The four elements.
But everything changed when the weed nation attacked. So, are you asking what makes a humidor so goddamn special?
I am.
Two things. An airtight seal that ensures stable moisture, and a moisture-retaining lining. After 1888, that lining tends to be Spanish cedar, which I'll get into in just a second. But before that, it was pretty much anything at all, period. I actually have a really hard time parsing the thought process that went into what lined an early humidor and why. you tend to see tin, copper, and porcelain a lot.
Huh.
I think the thinking there is because it is so non-porous that it will trap all humidity.
I guess, yeah.
That turns into a different problem because then the humidity stacks up pretty quickly, especially if you're not considering where it is and it starts getting hot.
And then the beetles start crawling out of it.
Yeah, and then the worms crawl in, the worms crawl out.
Ew.
In your cigar and out your mouth.
No.
I'm not going to feel bad about making cigars seem unappealing because we should all abandon tobacco products as a society.
Icky, gross, no thank you. But D, are vape investments.
No, vape is nicotine. You don't, that's different from tobacco.
Oh, okay.
And even then, I think a lot more research has to be done and then we're probably end up dumping that too.
For more on vape, please check our episode on cast iron banks.
Yeah, try to figure that connection out. You'll never guess how we get onto that subject. So another really common lining is different kinds of wood. And that has issues because different kinds of wood interact with different humidities in a lot of varying ways. Most notably, they either hold the humidity forever or they just suck it all up. And then they make your cigars dry.
Oh dear.
Now, in 1888, you enter a man by the name of Terence Manning. He was a cabinet maker from Ireland who came home in 1888 after studying from, I shit you not, I couldn't find a single article that didn't call it just the coast of Africa.
He was studying in Wakanda?
In Wakanda, it seems. One article did say South Africa, which I would like to remind literally everyone writing articles in the year of our Lord Princess Peach 2020 is also a pretty huge chunk of land.
Well, South Africa is also the name of a country.
That's not the one they mean, though. It never
is. Oh, they just meant, like, sub-Saharan Africa?
Yeah, like, this was a reference to sub-Saharan and not the because when they saw the country, they almost always say the country of South Africa. Because they know that there are two differentiations. And people from the, the islands roughly centered around the UK historically don't care about those distinctions. But anyway...
Kind of like how you don't care about the distinctions in that general area of the world?
No, I didn't want to make a distinction because it's a lot of, you know, it's not just the UK. France also has a colonialism problem. We're not going to get them a pass by saying UK.
D, France isn't an island.
I said around the islands.
You can say Europe.
Europe. Yeah, look, I am historically very bad at geography. Anyway, Mr. Terence Manning has just come home to Ireland from studying in Wakanda. And he was studying cabinet making with different kinds of hardwoods, tropical hardwoods and other non-tropical hardwoods, because there are different kinds. And he's actually credited with inventing the modern humidor. He used the foreign contacts he made to import both mahogany, which grows in a variety of rainforest settings, and Spanish cedar, which grows very specifically in Central America. And Spanish cedar is an interesting wood in that it is incredibly porous. And since it is incredibly porous, it holds moisture longer and in a more stable fashion and doesn't warp in response to humidity, unlike other woods.
And you can store so many beetle eggs.
No, actually, beetles do not like Spanish cedar.
Because cedar.
Because, well, actually, all right. So the other thing about Spanish cedar is that it's not actually a species of cedar.
Wait, okay. Wait. So do the bugs make the same mistake I do and they first stay away from it?
Yeah, they say, oh, is this cedar? And then someone says, no, it's actually a form of mahogany. And they get so embarrassed they leave.
Much like I'm about to leave this podcast. Goodbye.
No, it's called Spanish cedar. Of course you'd make that. And the thing is, it looks like cedar, which is how it got that name. It's like a really light and heavily veined reddish wood. And It smells similar to cedar. It's earned the name cedar in a lot of ways.
But it's not cedar.
But it is not cedar. But its aromatic and porous qualities do repel insects in much the same way as standard cedar. Now, the fact that it's a mahogany family actually is why you see other cigar humidors that are just made out of regular mahogany. But mahogany doesn't quite have the warp resistance of Spanish cedar. So you see from the 1900s onward, any humidor worth its salt tends to be lined with Spanish cedar. Although, like, don't let that get you slipping. A lot of humidors just aren't lined.
How do they retain the humidity?
The trick to that is that those examples were probably never actually used to store cigars.
What?
And were probably used more as, hold on, there's a phrase, it's not clout, status symbol, as a status symbol.
Pre-clout clout, also known as status symbols.
Well, because, you know, from the 1900s pretty much until the 1970s, I think, is generally when people start losing their interest in tabacchiana as a hobby. it was really cool. It was like the cool, gentlemanly thing to do was to have and smoke cigars. But you rarely ever smoked cigars in group settings. That was fairly unusual. So you could put a humidor on your desk and say, ah, yes, my humidor. It is fine crystal. And it didn't matter that it was generally pretty bad for your cigars because you didn't own any. Humidors came in a lot of materials, some of them varying in their usefulness from incredibly good for humidor to incredibly bad. You get mahogany, walnut, cherry wood, especially German Black Forest mahogany and walnut is actually considered like the holy grail of all humidors.
Oh.
And because they're so tight-fitting and well-crafted, they actually do tend to make pretty good humidors. And if you're using one now anyway, there's a bunch of accessories you could put in a shitty humidor to make it work better. There's crystal and glass, cut glass. These look a lot like general little glass jars, but the lid is frequently metal and has like a sort of a slot for a humidifying element. A lot of times this is just like a little square hanger for you to put a little chunk of wet sponge in. And sometimes they have these whole extra, like, false bottoms where you can slam in some, like, wet paper and it'll, like, slowly release.
Sure.
This is the case also with ceramic, porcelain, and pottery humidors. They're generally the most decorative. I think they're the ones, in my opinion, that are purchased more often because there really aren't a lot of cigar enthusiasts left. They tend to look like cookie jars, and I see them marketed as cookie jars an alarming amount of the time.
Do you want your cookies to taste just awful?
Just like dry, shitty tobacco, and possibly beetles.
Yay!
But their shape is really cookie jar adjacent. You can tell the difference usually by looking at the lid. I've never seen a cookie jar that had like a really perfectly sealing lid. So you can look at the lid, and if it seals very perfectly, if it has like specific kind of bandings meant for a tighter fit, or, like I said before, if it has vent holes or, like, a moistening holder in the lid, then that would be indication that it is not a cookie jar, it is in fact a humidor. Size can also kind of play into this, because cookie jars tend to be pretty big, and humidors that I've seen tend to be closer to Yankee Candle size.
Okay.
I don't know why I said candle twice.
Well, Yankee Candle is a candle brand.
Yeah, but, you know, if I just said Yankee Candle, I think everyone would have guessed that I meant the candle that they sold.
Would they? Or would they guess you meant the miniature Bavarian forest slash village slash castle that they've built inside the Yankee Candle flagship store?
Oh my god, is that secretly a humidor?
Probably.
For all of Santa's cigars?
It's the only explanation.
If you've never been to the Yankee Candle flagship store, oh my god, it is such an adventure. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. There's fake snow. It's amazing.
He went to Bavaria to learn how to make candles, and his takeaway was, I need to reconstruct Bavaria in this warehouse.
And he was right.
He was right.
Some of the more desirable ones that I've also experienced personally, again, your mileage may vary in this arena, the metal ones, especially silver plate and sterling silver humidors, which, like the clay and glass ones, tend to look like cookie jars. The difference is that I have never in my entire life seen a sterling silver cookie jar, so you can actually pretty much just base it off of that. It's you look at it and you say, now is this realistically a cookie jar? And if the answer is no, it's not, and it's a humidor instead.
I'm just trying to think of the kind of spoiled brat who is born not just with a silver spoon in their mouth, but with a sterling silver cookie jar.
The thing is, I guarantee someone's going to dig up a picture of one now that I've said it.
No.
So everything I've described right now, it kind of describes a desktop humidor, especially the box types, which tend to look like just any well-made fitted box. But you can pretty much lose the plot on what could be a humidor pretty quickly. You see a lot of trunks. They look like standard travel trunks, but they tend to be lined with either copper or tin, and they are generally general store displays for buying cigars. This is the same with, like, kitschy little, like, glass, like a side table or even, like, a coffee table kind of size table. There's a chance that if it's got, like, a glass compartment in it, it's actually a table humidor. Another common size that you run into is the display case or side table, which, unlike I said the word display case, they actually do tend to be boxes on legs.
Boxes on legs.
It's a box on a leg. They're surprisingly common holdovers from the days when rich men might have had smoking rooms. And since the humidor elements of it are often overlooked or understated to begin with, they get passed around as just side tables a lot. Which is a shame, because they are worth a lot more if you identify them as a humidor. like anything that has a really long history, there's also just, like, a lot of decorative elements on these things. You see a lot of disembodied caricature heads of people.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that is going exactly where you think it's going, but I didn't mean that.
God damn it.
That encompasses both the funny Toby Jug kind of funny caricatures, where it's like Winston Churchill with his eyes bugging out of his head and he's saying, cheerio, chap, chap, or whatever, and it does include racist caricatures.
Ugh.
Especially considering that the history of tobacco has been wrapped up in, unfortunately, a lot of racist caricature.
A lot of exploitation of racial minorities, yeah.
A ton of exploitation of racial minorities, unfortunately, is the backbone of tobacchiana. And I think it's important to remember that so that we don't repeat those mistakes.
Yay!
The Boston Museum of Art, I've seen this one in person, it's really remarkable, actually has a silver humidor. It's a box within a cage, and the cage is defended by little silver greyhounds.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very charming. I believe, actually, if you just look up Boston Museum of Art humidor, it's the thing that comes up. It was made by a silver company that didn't otherwise make humidors. This was a specific commission, and it's just really charming to look at. There was a humidor company that actually just did humidors that were pretty faithful replications of buildings, including the whole ass White House.
Just the whole ding-dang thing.
Just the whole ding-dang building in miniature and full of your cigars.
And on fire, thanks to the War of 1812.
Please don't set it on fire. It would be quite collectible if you had one. I don't care if you want your ant farm to do a funny little recreation of the War of 1812. It's not worth burning a cool humidor over. One of the few, desperately few, justices in this life are that, in specific, the racist caricature humidors are, again, I can't speak for anyone else's experience, I have never seen one that wasn't a reproduction.
Interesting.
Because of their incredible crossover collection value and the haunting popularity that surrounds, unfortunately, what we're going to call Black Americana, which is not a term I enjoy or like, or I think is representative of what this collection category actually represents. In any case, it has a lot of collection potential. As a result, tons and tons and tons of reproductions. I'd be extremely surprised if you showed me one that wasn't in a museum and was real.
Damn.
In general, in terms of, like, spotting fakes, there aren't a lot, because tobacchiana had a really sharp drop-off in the 2000s, alongside generally just, like, the idea that smoking was cool. Like, the farther down that goes and the more technological those addictions kind of, like, become, realm of tobacchiana hasn't really been super strong, which means that you don't see a lot of reproduction. The ones, you know, again, the racist caricatures I'm talking about are reproduced largely for their value as racist caricatures as opposed to the fact that they're humidors. Pretty easy way to tell is that when you're looking at ceramic and porcelain and pottery humidors, which again are some of the more common ones you'll be finding, the clay should always be red or tan. That's it. There you go. Other than that, I wouldn't worry too much about humidors being reproductions. A lot of them are even folk art. They have a value similar to other folk art pieces, which, of course, depends on a lot of factors.
Such as, do you care about folk art?
Do you give a shit about folk art? I saw a lot of folk art humidors that were made out of artillery shells from the sundry World Wars. And again, those have a crossover value if you're into collecting war memorabilia or folk art. I think that gets rolled in with prisoner art from time to time. I don't know, I think it's kind of a fascinating history. You can buy humidors now because there isn't existing and enduring cigar fandom. Is that the term you'd use?
Yeah, they're a fandom.
It's a fandom.
There haven't been many new canon installments, but, you know, they're still there.
Yeah, yeah. The Cuba canon is still the primary canon. I did find, this is neither here nor there, I found an article on Simply Cigars on the use of vintage humidors as current humidors, which was largely just re-wet it, like, you season humidors by soaking them, essentially.
Oh.
So that when you put your cigars in, the humidor doesn't just suck the humidity out of the cigar. They wrote, have you ever been tempted to buy a vintage humidor on eBay, but were concerned about how effective it would be? There were no cheap imports from China back then. These were all made by English craftsmen, and the equivalent today would cost you thousands of pounds. That's a wild claim, given that in 10 minutes of searching, half the humidors I encountered were high quality from Noritake, Japan.
Yeah.
So if the English could fucking tone it down for 5 minutes.
And also, however well crafted the old ones were, they didn't work very well.
That's the other thing. There are a lot of fine English crafted humidors that were very shitty for holding a cigar.
Yeah, that's... It sounds like you're just being racist for the sake of being racist.
It does actually kind of seem that way, doesn't it? I wanted to put them on blast for that real quick. Also, I found the periodical The Gentleman's Gazette, which might actually be the funniest periodical in the history of the internet.
Oh no.
In addition to an article on vintage humidors and how to season them, which was helpful, admittedly, there were articles such as how to select an appealing peacoat. 100 activities and hobbies for the gentleman.
Such as selecting peacoats?
There is a selecting peacoats article. There's a guide to the hobby of dandyism.
I mean, I guess.
The comments on the 100 hobbies for men, which was stunning because it just listed 100 different hobbies that humans could be doing. Some of people were highly insulted at the suggestions of hobbies men should be doing. You have to go over to Gentleman's Gazette and see what's going on over there, because I didn't know these people still existed. They're still out there. Holy shit. And at least one of them really loves cigars.
All right. Is that your sources?
That's one of them. More sources include torchcigarbar.com, their article on making vintage humidors work once more, cigaraficionado.com, humidors of history, collectorweekly.com, their article on humidors, and I do really think you should check this out, a YouTube channel called Denver Brass Armadillo. They have a series called The Gary Stover Hour with Gary Stover, and he did an episode called Antique Humidors and Cross-Collecting Antiques. It turns out every week he does a YouTube TV, little YouTube show showcasing a certain kind of antique. And it being a more visual medium, it's really cool. It's really delightful. Mostly he goes around the Brass Armadillo shop and shows you different examples of stuff.
Cool.
I really enjoy it. I'll be watching it more often. I recommend you do too.
Woo. If you would like to talk about humidors or suggest other topics we could cover on our podcast, check us out on Facebook in our Facebook group Antiques Freaks Friends, or on Tumblr at antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com, or email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to get other people to listen to us, you can scroll down to wherever you're listening to this and leave a review, which will bump us up in the ratings and get more eyes on this podcast in the app.
And it can be any kind of review you want.
Any kind. If you would like to listen to deleted scenes, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks and get us ever closer to our goal of releasing bonus episodes. Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love. And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.